Miss Noah, in the South Atlantic. Arrangements are now being made to let the astronaut crawl out the upper neck of the spacecraft onto the deck of the destroyer.
Well, that last report from Colonel Powers seems to conflict with what we've heard a few minutes earlier. We were under the impression that Colonel Glenn had emerged from the spacecraft, but now, according to that very latest from Mercury Control, it appears that he's still in it, and he'll be coming out the neck instead of the side hatch, which most of us were under the impression was the preferred method of getting out.
Yes, that caught me completely by surprise, Dallas. Like yourself, I'd assumed that the first announcement by Colonel Powers meant that Glenn was actually out of the capsule and on deck. But, again, this is possibly nitpicking because we do have reports that he has informed the recovery forces that his condition is excellent.
Yes, it would appear from what Colonel Powers says now that what they have heard from Glenn is still by voice radio. So we're waiting now to find out when and if Colonel Glenn will get out of the capsule. We assume that it'll be happening almost momentarily. Of course, he has to go through the process of unfastening himself, and that can be a rather laborious process to judge from what happened in the on the 11th deck of the Mercury of the gantry crane this morning. It took a long time to secure him inside the spacecraft. Now here's Colonel Powers again.
Astronaut John Glenn is in voice communications with the USS Noah. He has just advised the people on board the Noah that he will assist in removing a small pressure bulkhead so that he can fall up through the narrow upper neck of the spacecraft. This is Mercury Control.
That was just another detail from Colonel Powers. He's trying to come out the neck of the spacecraft, but I think that would involve a removal of the panel, which is directly in front of his face, so it may take a few minutes. We're trying to switch, not only we're waiting to switch to the White House for the words of President Kennedy, we're also trying to switch for reaction to Arlington, Virginia, where the Glenn family is, and to New Concord, Ohio, where Glenn's mother and father are. And as we've already heard, this is a great day for New Concord, Ohio, and of course for Arlington, Virginia. We haven't been able to establish the contact yet, but we'll be able to do it fairly soon, I'm sure. And I think it takes no clairvoyance to assume that when the spacecraft returned to the Atlantic and when it was picked up by the destroyer Noah, a great cheer must have gone up in both cities, where Colonel Glenn is a familiar figure indeed. He grew up in New Concord, Ohio. His mother and father still live there, and he's been living for some years now at Arlington, Virginia. Here's Colonel Powers again.
From the USS Noah, that astronaut John Glenn has, in fact, come out of the Friendship 7 spacecraft. They are in voice communication and working together to make the arrangements for him to get out of the spacecraft. This is Mercury Control.
Colonel Powers said just then that we are still waiting to hear that Colonel Glenn has emerged from the spacecraft. There is voice communication between the personnel on board the deck of the destroyer Noah and the astronaut who remains temporarily inside the spacecraft. And there is a certain amount of technical work that has to be done before he can be brought out. In an emergency, Colonel Glenn could have cut himself loose. He had a pair of surgical shears in one of the pockets of his spacesuit, and he could have done it in a hurry, but there's no need for that now. And so all concerned are willing to take their time.
It still shows once again the tremendous discipline and nerves of steel that John Glenn and his six fellow astronauts have. The average man, after going through an ordeal, which indeed it was, really, in that cramped position for 8 hours, would just want to get out as fast as he could any which way. And Glenn is still following the procedures that he's been taught so thoroughly during almost 3 years' time now.
The ordinary man, probably at this point, if he were still able to talk coherently, would be saying, "Let me out of here.
Yeah, let me out."
But Colonel Glenn, performing like a military test pilot, which he is still just as calm, unconcerned, unruffled, and in full control of himself as ever.
Dallas, do you have any idea what's going to happen to his spacecraft? It's a rather famous item now, very much like Lindbergh Spirit of St. Louis.
No, I don't.
Are you located for the Smithsonian or what?
The Shepard spacecraft was taken to the Smithsonian, and it's quite possible that the same thing will happen to this, but no, we haven't heard any official word yet on what will happen. Now, we have established contact with the Glenn home in Arlington, Virginia, so we will switch now to Arlington. Dave Derry reporting.
This is Dave Derry at the home in Arlington, Virginia, and at the present time I'm standing about 15 feet from the front door in a mob of about 100 people, including a lot of photographers and newsmen, waiting for news of a possible reaction from inside the Glenn home. Ford Eastman, the NASA representative here who's been acting as go-between, is inside the house right now. There are several policemen at the front door to keep anyone who wants to get in, if they could get through the crowd, from getting in. A police lieutenant is just walking out now, and Ford Eastman is coming out. We'll try to switch up to the microphones we have set up on the front porch here, the small front porch, and see if we can pick up any comments that he has.
Are you happy with this setup now of the photographers over there and the voice and the reporters over here?
Pretty awkward statement, will you?
Oh, just a minute. Let's see. I thought this was going to be cleared. So the photographers...
No, he's there. Shorty Powers is talking.
Ford Eastman is now talking to CBS News correspondent Nancy Hartman
up
there.
Are you guys happy now?
Who is trying to find out what is going on here.
What's that?
And
everybody is being pushed back a little bit,
feeling somewhat like sardines in a can here in the front yard of the Glenn home. Apparently, he's not going to have a statement at this time. Just coming out to say that Mrs. Glenn may be out in a little while. This is the indication we get here at the Glenn home. Photographers taking pictures. And it appears now that we are going to have to wait a little while longer before Mrs. Glenn will have a statement. This is Dave Derry, CBS News, the Glenn home in Arlington.
Well, it's quite understandable that Mrs. Glenn isn't able to come out right now. The chances are that she's having some difficulty controlling her emotions. While we were hearing that report from Dave Derry in Arlington, Colonel Powers came on again briefly and reported that the work is now underway of removing the instrument panel in front of Colonel Glenn's face, just above him now, and also a portion of the upper bulkhead. And when that is accomplished, then he will be able to emerge from the neck of the spacecraft. And Colonel Glenn is assisting in his own egress from the craft. The removal of the panel is necessary, as we said a while ago, in order to allow him to come out the upper neck of the capsule. Just why he's not coming out the side hatch is not known. Perhaps the hatch itself was a little bit damaged in the process of recovery. In any case, the word from the destroyer NOAA is that he is coming out the neck of the spacecraft and should be out shortly.
Dallas, I'd like to interrupt. A very distinguished and a very happy gentleman has just walked into our CBS radio mobile unit here, James McDonald, the man whose company built the spacecraft that carried John Glenn on his three-orbital trip today. Mr. McDonald, what are your reactions right now? I know you're happy, but what's overmost in your mind?
Well, I feel very much that our team of 21,000 people should be deeply grateful for this opportunity to have been a small part in this great American team that has put the first American astronaut into triple orbit around the Earth. I'm very deeply impressed. We're part of a great team which under NASA's leadership, General Dynamics Astronautics provided the Atlas booster that just performed magnificently. The specialists in radio and telemetering supplied that worldwide network that was just so terrific. To be able to talk to Glenn around the world through these various stations and get his comments and give him instructions was a tremendously important part of it. And what I would like to tell my 21,000 teammates in St. Louis when I go to Hangar S to report to them in a moment, is to impress on them how We're part of a great team, and in this great team, aside from our company and General Dynamics and about over 4,000 supporting companies, and the Air Force and the Navy, last but not least, is this great astronaut, John Glenn. He is terrific. He is just terrific.
Mr. McDonald, let me interrupt for just a moment. We have word now that because of difficulties in clearing the way for Colonel Glenn to emerge from the neck of the spacecraft, the personnel on board the destroyer NOAA have decided to blow the side hatch so that he will be able to come out that way.
That is routine procedure. That is the way it's designed. It's just like the escape mechanism from our supersonic jet fighters, in which the big canopy above them, for purposes of egress, can be blown off in the same way this hatch can be blown off. Perfectly easy, perfectly routine.
Well, Mr. McDonald, what would have been the preferred method? We were under the impression that he would come out the side hatch anyway. Now it appears that he's coming out the side hatch, but originally he was coming out the neck.
Well, the capsule is designed so that the astronaut can get out in either way, and heretofore the astronauts have, without exception, preferred to come out the side. But they can come out the neck if they desire to.
Mr. McDonald, I certainly don't mean to mar your great day, but could you tell us now, do you have any idea what might have caused that slight attitude systems problem?
The cause for that could have been any number of things, and I would like to approach it in a slightly different way. It proves the great desirability of having the intelligent astronaut in the machine instead of doing everything automatically. And it proves that in space that there's a real place for the intelligent human being.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. McDonald.
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead. Thank you very much, Mr. McDonald. We now have a report from Colonel Powers that Colonel Glenn has emerged from the spacecraft, and he's on the deck of the destroyer NOAA, and he's reported hale and hearty. Well, while we were listening to Mr. James McDonald of the McDonald Aircraft Corporation, we did get that word that John Glenn has emerged. Presumably the technicians on board the deck of the destroyer NOAA blew the side hatch, and while we were talking to Mr. James McDonald, astronaut Glenn freed himself from the straps which held him in place on the foam rubber couch inside the capsule, and he has now come out on the deck of the NOAA reporting himself hale and hearty. So, for all practical purposes, the great flight is over. Now will come the transfer to the carrier, Randolph, and after that, a flight to Grand Turk Island in the Lower Bahamas, and the beginning of the debriefing process. We've been told earlier that very few people are allowed to talk to Glenn. In fact, the sailors, the crew members involved in personal contact with him in the moments when he came out of the capsule were allowed only to indulge in just a very few questions. For example, how do you feel? Do you need anything right now? And so forth. The detailed questioning will come from flight surgeons intimately connected with the Mercury operation. Well, now, we're going to get some reaction from outside of Cape Canaveral, and we'll switch now from our CBS News headquarters here to New York. Stuart Novins reporting.
The streets of New York City, Dallas, have been extraordinarily empty today as the inhabitants of this city, which likes to think of itself as cynical and sophisticated, have been glued to their radio and television sets. Just a few minutes ago, as you gave us the voice of Shorty Powers announcing that the capsule was on the deck of the NOAA and that Glenn was in excellent condition, the tall office buildings that huddled together here in mid-Manhattan practically burst into snowfalls of ticker tape and shredded paper. The window offices all around us are open. The people inside, who obviously haven't been doing very much work today, standing there applauding and throwing anything that won't bounce out of the windows. Thousands of people have been standing in Grand Central Station, where CBS News has been presenting the minute-by-minute report of the launch, and there has been generally great applauding and cheering. Now back to Dallas Townsend.
Well, Chuck, that's rather well stew. I think we're getting a little punch drunk down here. But that indeed, Stu, is the situation here. And now we're going to switch again from Cape Canaveral. And for the remarks of President Kennedy, we take you to the White House.
And he was, as are the other astronauts, the kind of American of whom we are most proud. Some years ago, as a Marine pilot, he raced the sun across this country and lost. And today, he won. I also want to say a word for all those who participated with Colonel Glenn at Canaveral. They faced many disappointments and delays. The burdens upon them were great, but they kept their heads and they made a judgment, and I think their judgment's been vindicated. We have a long way to go in the space race. We started late, but this is the new ocean, and I believe the United States must sail on it and be in a position second to none. Some years, months ago, I said that I hoped that every American would serve his country. Today, Colonel Glenn served his, and we all express our thanks to him.
This is a new ocean. The United States must sail on it.
President Kennedy, speaking from the White House just now, in praise and congratulation to Colonel Glenn. And you may have noted that he also praised the judgment of the men in charge of the Mercury manned spaceflight program. It's a judgment which has been subject to considerable criticism in the past few months, but today, said President Kennedy, that judgment has been vindicated. And he also said, this is the new ocean. The United States started from behind, but this is the new ocean, and we must sail upon it. This is Dallas Townsend. We'll be back with our coverage of America's first orbital flight from Cape Canaveral in just a minute.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
This is Dallas Townsend reporting again for CBS News from Cape Canaveral, Florida, where we are now cheering and applauding, as everyone else is in the United States, the successful completion of John Glenn's three-orbit flight around the Earth. And just a moment ago, President Kennedy added his words of congratulation from the White House, praising the achievement of Colonel Glenn, praising the judgment of the men in charge of the manned spaceflight program, the judgment which he said has today been vindicated. We're still waiting for further word from the destroyer NOAA, where John Glenn now is after having emerged from the capsule through the side hatch. We'll return in a moment to our coverage of this epic-making event. Right now, we're going to pause for a word from Rambler and Ed Herlihy.
Of all the innovations claimed by car makers this year, possibly the most important and the one car experts hail as the biggest news comes from Rambler. It is the new e-stick transmission, available on all Rambler Americans for 1962. With Rambler's e-stick transmission, there is no clutch pedal. You get what many car buyers have been requesting for years, most of the convenience of full automatic transmission for about one-third the usual cost, and with stick shift economy. The new e-stick transmission, available only on Rambler American and no other compact. Another of the 102 ways Rambler is new and better for 1962. Another reason why Rambler sales are at an all-time high. This weekend, your Rambler dealer is able to offer you a weekend special deal. It is a special money-saving opportunity to own a new 1962 Rambler. Ask your Rambler dealer about his weekend special deal.
Now back to Dallas Townsend at Cape Canaveral.
Well, here we are on a beautiful, lovely, sunny, and cloudless afternoon at Cape Canaveral, and everybody's beginning to relax. Now that John Glenn has successfully orbited the Earth three times and has come back alive, well, and hearty, in the words of Colonel Powers, hale and hearty. We still have no further word from the destroyer NOAA, where Colonel Glenn is now located. We assume that he will soon be transferred from the NOAA to the deck of the carrier Randolph, which was directing the recovery forces in the third orbit recovery area. We've heard now from President Kennedy at the White House, praising Colonel Glenn, congratulating him on his achievement. A couple of days from now, The chances are that Colonel Glenn will be able to receive congratulations from the President personally after he completes the debriefing process and has flown to Washington for a conference with news reporters and then a visit to the White House. And it's safe to say that the entire nation joins President Kennedy in adding its own congratulations to the achievement of Colonel Glenn, because it has been a great one and has been accomplished after what seemed like an agonizing series of delays. Of course, those delays were magnified, probably out of proportion, by the fact that every delay was announced publicly, that every postponement attracted nationwide attention. And there was a perfectly normal, understandable human reaction, a feeling of frustration and impatience that first one thing and then another prevented the launching from taking place. Today it did. After 10 postponements, it finally went. It finally began at 9:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The flight went almost exactly as programmed. Colonel Glenn flew, from a point of view of Earth mileage, well over 75,000 miles. He splashed down in the Atlantic. He's been recovered by the destroyer NOAA, and the flight is over. So we can all relax. We can all feel happy that, at long last, this country has sent a man into orbit and has sent him around the world three times, brought him back safely. Still no word from the destroyer NOAA. Just a brief recapitulation. Colonel Glenn was launched aboard the Mercury spacecraft Friendship 7, a name which he himself gave to it. He was launched aboard an Atlas booster. The booster put him into orbit in the vicinity of Bermuda at an altitude of 100 miles. He hit the window in the sky, which the space people often talk about. He hit it exactly. He went into orbit at a perigee, a low point of 100 miles, traveling at 17,545 miles an hour. He reached a high point, an apogee, of 160 miles. He traveled eastward around the world, crossing the Atlantic Ocean, passing in the vicinity of Bermuda, the Canary Islands, the Cape Verde Islands, then across the continent of Africa, out over the Indian Ocean in the vicinity of Zanzibar, which is located just off the east coast of Africa, out over the Indian Ocean, where he passed by an Indian Ocean tracking ship. And at that point, the only experiment, as far as we know, that was expected did not take place. The flares, which the space agency had hoped would be fired in the expectation that Colonel Glenn would see them, those flares were not fired because the weather conditions over the Indian Ocean were not favorable. And then on he went over Australia, over the Pacific, and back to the United States. And now we're going to switch from our CBS News headquarters to Hangar S on Cape Canaveral to Dick Bate for a cake ceremony.
Here on the parking lot outside Hangar S, the astronaut's hangar, another Mercury capsule is displayed inside a roped-off area. This capsule, however, won't fly. It's made out of some 125 standard sheets of cake. It weighs about 900 pounds, but it looks just exactly like a Mercury astronaut capsule. It's the same size and the same shape. It even has the same lettering on the side. In this cake, there are some 300 pounds of sugar, 190 pounds of butter, 250 pounds of flour, and some 1,200 eggs, plus 100 quarts of milk, mixed fruit, powdered sugar, margarine, egg whites, and different kinds of flavoring. I would guess that there are now a couple hundred of the people who helped put John Glenn into orbit now gathered around waiting for the first piece of cake to be cut and for the celebration party to get started. This is Richard Bate at the Hangar S position, Cape Canaveral.
Well, it's taken those people who made that cake a long time to bring it out in the open ready for delivery to Colonel Glenn. It's been in cold storage, or at least in the refrigerator, back at one of the motels on the Cape, about 4 weeks now. And finally, at last, they're going to be able to say that they baked the cake and John Glenn was here to cut it. Well, now, let's switch again from CBS News headquarters at Cape Canaveral back to Washington for reaction on Capitol Hill. So we'll switch to the Capitol, Wells Church, reporting.
Well, Dallas, here at the old Supreme Court chamber, I guess the scene was almost an exact duplicate of the many that you've described this afternoon. People listened, and then when the moment came that John Glenn was down safely, there was an uproar, a cheer. This staid old room really rocked for a few minutes with those cheers. Members of Congress, like everybody else, delighted. There was a good deal of nervousness here, as witness the fact that I think they consumed, I'm told, some 75 gallons of coffee during this stretch of time. That's a lot of coffee, even for members of Congress. It's now quiet here, as it is down there. So, this is CBS News, the United States Capitol.
Thank you very much, Ted Church, for that report from Washington. Yes, it is quiet here. At the moment, things are quieting down. An air of relaxation has set in, an air, I would say, also of almost unconquerable relief, now that the great flight is at last going into the history books. A flight for which this country can take genuine pride, a flight which will certainly be measured somewhere alongside the Wright brothers' flight at Kitty Hawk in December 1903. And in fact, Colonel Glenn has compared this flight with what the Wright brothers did on the sand hills of North Carolina so many years ago. Not so many, really. Only 58 years to go from the first powered flight in this country, which lasted just a few hundred feet, to the time when an American citizen could fly around the world three times in 4.5 hours. A word now on Colonel Powers, the Project Mercury spokesman. He has left Mercury Control, and he is now on his way to the airstrip to fly to Grand Turk Island to be with John Glenn when he arrives there for the debriefing. That flight should take probably about an hour. So, unless something unusual happens, the chances are we'll be hearing no more from Colonel Powers this afternoon. A lot of people are gathering outside Mercury Control, a great deal of hustle and bustle. Chances are that most of the people involved in the operation, the people who sat in the Mercury Control Center during those long, extremely tense hours, are now coming out ready to call it a day and go home and relax for a while. The atmosphere in Mercury Control is an extremely businesslike one, extremely tense during the long hours of the flight, with the Mercury Operations Director, Walter Williams, seated about in the middle of a 50-square-foot room, watching a large number of consoles and panels as the flight progresses. Now we're going to switch to New Concord, Ohio, where a ceremony is in progress. We'll switch to New Concord.